are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me today, you guys already know who it is. It's Mike Senior. How are you?
Welcome, everyone. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And that is actually it today. Kevin had some stuff going on and couldn't join us today.
Right, but, and it is Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day. Understandable. And we did want to kick off the show with a little Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Absolutely, and we forgive you, Kevin. It is Mother's Day.
Exactly.
Hopefully you're with your mom and you're enjoying your time. I know it's been a long couple of months for everyone. Although I will say the last 2 weeks didn't seem as long as the 2 weeks before that.
Yeah, absolutely. Things are starting to pick up a little bit, and we're starting to hear a little tiny bit of news about, you know, the NBA is opening some facilities and states where it's allowed for individual workouts. It's slowly, the door is just starting to creak open. But the UFC ran a full event last night, and we're not a UFC show, but I bought the pay-per-view, and man, it was fun. Like, we don't have to talk a lot about it, and I know I'm bum-rushing you here a little bit.
No, it was something going on that we didn't know the result to.
And you know what? My girlfriend and I have recently gotten into the UFC just kind of casually. It started kind of through some Joe Rogan stuff, and we kind of started watching some fights. And
I like Joe.
His podcast is great.
He is what he is, but I like him.
Yeah, and apparently he makes like six figures per podcast. So like we're trying to get there.
But God bless him.
He puts out a podcast every other day, and I would too. But either way, that's what kind of got us into it. And we decided, you know what? There's one event.
Yeah, no.
Nothing else going on. We're not spending our money at the movie theater or at restaurants or nothing. Buy a pay-per-view. And it was fantastic. Dana White, if you see this, thank you for putting on a fantastic card. That was incredible.
Oh, no, I didn't see
it. Bottom. It was insane.
I saw all the highlights this morning. And again, I enjoyed just having something fresh that they were talking about on ESPN. Not something that, you know, speculation about future. But hey, this happened last night. Let's talk about it. So even that was refreshing.
Francis Ngannou is a Mack truck. He's a Mack truck.
No, I understand.
If you saw the fight, you know what I'm talking about.
Which I didn't. Like I said, I only saw the highlights.
If you go on Twitter, you'll be able to find the whole thing because it'll fit in a GIF. It's a short fight.
Okay.
But either way, I did want to mention that. The fact that we did have live sports, live actual combat sports in Florida last night. Everything went well. They did actually have somebody test positive, but they knew he was coming in from people who had it. They kept him as isolated as they could, other than when he weighed in. But we're not talking about that. And they sent him home. He got the positive test.
Right.
They sent him and his two cornermen who had it home. Hopefully nobody else tests positive, and everyone gets out of this nice and clean. I heard Dana White say it at his post-fight press conference last night. They're trying to pave the way for other sports. They're trying to show other sports leagues how to do it safely. Right.
And look, we're only going to be able to do whatever is done, anywhere it's done. We're only going to be able to maximize the safety.
Right.
Okay.
Of course.
We have two offices where I work, and I went into the second lower key office, which has a lot less people in it. Well, there's nobody in the other office anyway, but our Center City office, which is, you know, our everyday office, I didn't go into, but I went to our satellite office, and it was great just to, you know, kind of feel like I was going to work again. I went 3 out of the 5 days this week, and it was great.
Time out. Let's rewind the clock 6 months. Mm-hmm. I jump into Mike Senior's car in traffic at 8 a.m. and tell him that he's going to miss driving to work.
I know.
What does he say to me in November or whatever? He tells me I'm crazy.
Well, are you giving me the reason why?
No. If I just say, Mike Senior, in 6 months, you're going to be begging for the opportunity.
Something's
going to
go
wrong.
Right. Yeah. No, I would say you're crazy. Well,
exactly.
I say you're crazy anyway. But
wow. Yeah.
That'll just give me another reason.
Those in glass houses, my friend.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But either way,
that's why we work so well together.
I did want to mention live sports last night, and
absolutely,
yeah, because we are starting to see early hints of
other things
which we're more familiar with coming back.
And that's why I mentioned my work. It's just early, you know, early hint. Okay, was able, and again, what my other point to that was also, that comes with a certain amount of risk.
Yeah,
no matter how you turn it, no matter how you spin it, I was around hardly anyone. Okay. did the mask thing, you know, that I'm supposed to do, all that stuff. I took every precaution, but there's still, it's not as safe as staying at home. So we can't live like this for the next 10 years. So sure. We have to do something, and this is not a COVID show, but you know,
it's definitely not. We're going to be moving beyond it very quickly. Right. Yeah,
my point being what you said is the sports will move forward as safely as possible. Also, I don't want to feel like we shortchanged the Mother's Day wish.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. We did. You're right.
We mentioned it, but to everyone out there, happy Mother's Day. Have a great day. As you know, obviously there's a ton going on, but hopefully everyone gets to see their family as much as possible today. If you know, whether it's visits or drive-bys or shout-outs or wave-outs.
It'll be a great day for Skype or FaceTime or Zoom.
And calling, all that stuff. So everyone enjoy, and family first. So
I will be doing that after this podcast, definitely.
Awesome.
We're recording a little bit early in the morning, but yes, my mother will be getting a call. If I called her before 8 a.m., she would not be very happy with me now. So.
Happy Mother's Day, Kyle's mom.
Happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Grandma Giletto.
Gotcha. Thank you.
As well as Mike Sr.'s wife. Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Kirsten, happy Mother's Day. My wife, happy Mother's Day.
Erica, happy Mother's Day to the cats.
Okay. Well, happy Mother's Day, Erica.
Oh, we are moving on. And before we get into the actual poll talk, because we did have a poll to resolve this week. That poll was found on our Twitter at YWT Podcast.
I'm not sure anything was resolved, but go ahead.
Well, listen,
I'm fired up. Can you believe it?
Well, we're going to get into that. Answer was reached.
A conclusion was achieved.
And you can find everything else that we do over on our Twitter at YWT. You can find Mike here at Mike from S Jersey. You can also find producer Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find us, the show, just by searching You Would Think on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SportsTalkPhilly.com. We're all over the internet. We're in every corner of the internet. But anyway, one of the corners of the internet that we spent this week was over on our Twitter. And the most memorable Flyers game of all time, according to our fans. And you know what? We had a decent little result here at the end with 158 votes in our final.
Yeah, that's good number of votes.
The most memorable Flyers game of all time, according to our fan base, is the 2010 Game 7 game against the Boston Bruins that resulted in the Philadelphia Flyers completing the reverse sweep and beating the Boston Bruins, becoming only the third team in NHL history to come back from 3-0 down in a series. And oh, by the way, they were also down 3-0 in Game 7. Because legally have to mention that when you talk about this game.
Right, but only because the symmetry is so incredible. So amazing.
It's chef's kiss.
If you're going to write a movie, that's what you would write. They were down 3-0 in the series, and they were down 3-0 in the game.
The Mighty Ducks, you know.
Correct. So, but they got it wrong.
Did they?
Yeah, they got it wrong.
Okay.
There's no way in the world that game is – it didn't put them in the Stanley Cup final. It didn't win the Cup. They weren't it would still be wrong. Even if they were the first team ever to come back from a 3-0 deficit, it would still be wrong. But
I think I disagree about that one. But, okay.
But I could live with it more.
Sure.
Being the third team to do it, it's not as special as being the first team to do it.
Okay.
You can't say it's
– You were the first team since 1975 or whatever it is, or 85, or first team in a very, very long time.
Yeah, but you can't say you did the impossible.
No, that's fair.
It had been done twice before, so it's clearly not impossible.
You can argue that
you did
that's more rare than a Stanley Cup, because a Stanley Cup is awarded every year. You know, that has only happened 3 times in history. The Stanley Cup has been awarded 130 times. You know, yeah, there's something to be said for the history there.
Yeah, but somebody has to win the Cup.
Sure.
Before the playoffs start, there's going to be a Cup winner, so I don't think that's a fair analogy.
Right, exactly. There's guaranteed to be a Cup winner. There's not guaranteed to be history like that.
I'm not saying the Flyers have done it once in their history. They won the Cup twice in their history. I'm not saying that it's not an amazing.
I'm just saying there's an argument there. Listen, at the end of the day, I do believe that the game where the Flyers became the first expansion team to win the Stanley Cup, 7 years into their existence or whatever it was, I agree that should have won. I'm not sitting here arguing the other. Offering a little possible perspective. We do also run into the problem, and we've talked about this on the last several shows. we use the word memorable. And when we talk about memorable from a fan perspective, a lot of people will tie that to games they literally remember happening. Fact or fiction, that's just how it's going to be. And the fact that a larger percentage of our audience was alive for 2010 than was for 74 is just kind of going to lend itself to that game being more memorable for a large percentage of our audience.
Yes, I'll remember watching the game. But you, clearly the question is, which of the games has more long-standing memorableness to it? And the team's first cup win, you know, again, I'm not saying it was some of the earlier results wrong, you know, and we don't need to rehash all that.
They got amazingly wrong. We'll talk about some of the semifinal matchups because we talked about them last week, but we're talking about the finals for right now.
Right.
But
that doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. And they ultimately, it's an indictment of the fan base.
Okay?
Possibly the worst fan base since the... Who's the worst fan base? Probably since the Chargers LA fan base, which they're forgiven for being a horrible fan base because they've only had the team for 2 years and there's another LA team. So I will say the Flyers fan base at this point is not the worst fan base in sports. They're second to the Charger fan base, which is about as bad a thing as you can say about a fan base.
And that's right, second worst fan base in all of sports.
All of sports. To put that game ahead of the 74.
Behind the Miami Marlins? Really? Well,
I don't consider any fan base of Florida a fan base because there's no fan base for any sport. Hockey, baseball, outside of the possibility of the Dolphins. They have a semi-fan base. and they've been there 100 years.
Okay, fine. Then the Arizona Diamondback. Really, you're telling me Flyers fans are worse than Arizona Coyotes fans? Most of them don't even know where the arena is.
Yeah.
No, they don't even know where the arena is.
When you don't put the first cup winning game as the most memorable game ever, that's a serious indictment of the fan base.
When your fan base doesn't remember it, it can't be the most memorable. Like that's what I'm saying. Our problem.
Then how did they?
I think your problem with this is the use of the word memorable. If we had used best, I feel like you would have a leg to stand on here. But the fact that the word was memorable.
Well, the best game is the most memorable.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Well, you know, most important, most memorable, best, biggest achievement, biggest accomplishment, whatever you want to call it, the game you remember the most. You know, I know I'm 55, but it's not like I was 20 when it happened. It's not
game
like
you remember the most.
I the only thing I remember in my head about the game was in the third period, they were still ahead one because we're all listening to it outside on the radio. We're playing again. We're 10 years old. We're, you know, hockey's a thing that's coming. It hasn't come yet. Okay. They're winning 1-0 in the third period, and everybody goes, okay, let's run inside to watch it. And the only thing I remember is Gene Hart's call at the end, the Flyers are going to win the Stanley Cup. That's the only thing I remember. So, quote unquote, memorable. I remember the whole 2010 game. I remember both.
Mike, what's your favorite movie of all time? I know you're a big movie guy.
My favorite movie of all time. One of them is Pulp Fiction.
Okay, Pulp Fiction. That's fine. That's a great example. Is any time watching Pulp Fiction as good as it was watching it the first time? Nothing compares.
No.
Nothing compares. Now let me finish here. You got to watch Pulp Fiction get filmed. I only saw it on ratty VHS 20 years later. That's the difference in how we look at this cup. To you, to me, it's still a cup. It's still an amazing movie if it's shot in 12, you know, 144p resolution. It's still a fantastic movie. It still has a great script. It still has great acting. It still has a good soundtrack. But it's not the same. You saw it in crystal clear IMAX. I saw it on a TV 4 inches wide. You know what I'm saying?
And at the same time, let's say the movie's made a different movie 20 years later. You go to the movie theater and you watch Shawshank.
Yeah.
And Shawshank's a very, very good movie.
Okay. It might not be as good as Pulp Fiction.
Exactly. Just because you saw it but in the same manner in which you saw Pulp Fiction.
To me, Shawshank will be a better movie. because I saw it in theaters and I only saw Pulp Fiction on tape.
We can agree to disagree.
I'd be willing to bet. Just you FYI, saw them both. You saw them both in theaters. You can look at both and judge them through the same lens. I saw one in the theaters and I saw one on my grandma's tube TV.
But I didn't. I only saw 3 minutes of the Stanley Cup winning game.
It doesn't matter. You experienced it. You were in the moment. You were there. Correct, you just said you listened to the whole thing on the radio. Correct. Not about watching it. You were experienced it. You listened to it. You were there.
That I did. I did experience. I knew what was going on.
Exactly. Yeah. And you saw it in crystal clear HD. Nobody under the age of, say, 50 got to experience that. Nobody. True. None of them.
True.
In the same way that people older than 50 did. Everybody 50 and younger, roughly, of course, 50 and younger, those people saw it on TV.
Yeah, but older people you're still supposed
saw it live, you know?
But as a fan base, you're still supposed to know your team's history.
And they do.
Okay.
That's why it still got 40%+ of the vote. I'd be willing to bet 43% of our fan base was not alive when that game happened. That number is higher than just the people that were alive. But when you use a word like memorable, like we have, the people that were alive for it are going to vote for it. Like, it's just how it's going to work.
I threw this analogy, and hopefully this works because it's fresher in your mind and you know what it meant.
Yeah.
The Eagles win the Super Bowl, Nicky Six, the amazing day, all that stuff. 30 years from now, in 2050 or whatever, you know, the Eagles win a playoff game against the Atlanta Falcons in the wild card round that they were losing 41-10.
Okay.
And they have this second half surge, amazing. They come back and they win the game and they lose the next round, or, you know, they go to the Super Bowl and they lose the Super Bowl. Is that game you put, then you put a poll up in 2052, most memorable Eagle game ever. Does that game have any shot of beating the 2017 Super Bowl win? Zero.
Sure does.
It's got zero chance.
No, because here's the thing. Listen, first of all,
the first Super Bowl will always be the most memorable thing ever.
Listen, I just let you flesh your whole thing out. Let me respond. You just fleshed your whole thing out.
I'm not saying what will happen.
Let me respond.
Should it happen, I guess is the way I should have put it.
I've let you flesh your whole thing out.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Okay. First of all, I'm upset that you are comparing football to hockey in this perspective, because I don't know if this opinion is unpopular or whatever. I will take game seven over any NFL playoff game, minus maybe a Super Bowl. If you go round by round, I will take a game seven over the equivalent round NFL game every time. There's nothing better than game seven hockey in my book. So to me, it's
Game seven of round one is not necessarily
the, to me, it's better, better than the wild card round of the NFC in the NFL.
No, you can make
the divisional round is better than the second round in the NFL. Championship in the NHL is better than the conference championship in the NFL.
You can make the argument in football. Every playoff game is game seven.
Sure. And that's fair. But if every game is set game seven, then no game is game seven. They wash each other out.
I didn't say I liked it. I said you can make that point.
And no, by the way, I am not advocating that football go to best of three by any means.
At the end of the day, I'm a huge hockey fan, and the reason I'm a huge hockey fan is because there's nothing in sports, absolutely nothing in sports, and I love all sports, that can equate or be as good as playoff hockey. Forgetting about game seven. Right. Playoff hockey as a whole has a level of intensity that's just you can't match it. The game changes. The game literally morphs into a different game. And I've always said, if the NHL could figure out a way, and you can't, to have playoff hockey played in the regular season and have the same game played in the regular season as played in the playoffs, it would not be the fourth sport. Not by a mile. But you can't. You can't do it.
No, you can't.
It's impossible. There's the human element to it.
You can't convince players to.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to recreate storming the beaches of Normandy. No, you can't create that. And that's not to over. I don't mean to insult anybody who's ever been in war. I apologize. But that's playoff hockey. It's the closest thing to combat that you will get in sports. It literally is a war of attrition.
I mean, I think UFC is literally the closest thing to combat you'll get in sports, but, you know, you're close. You're in the right ballpark.
Okay. It's just a war.
Listen, I just got to knock you down a peg. You know how I work.
And Game 7 is an even intensified version of, you know, of that, you know, accumulation.
Right. That's exactly my thing, is that it's hard comparing an NFL playoff game to a Game 7 because it just feels different. You have the intimacy of the first six games.
Yeah.
There is momentum one way or the other. Whoever won Game 6 has momentum, regardless of how the rest of the series has played out.
And look, and in those three, the three other sports, the game that you play in the regular season is the same game you play in the Super Bowl or roughly speaking,
penalties are called about the same, and the game is officiated roughly the same.
Pitchers are pitching, hitters are hitting, quarterbacks are throwing. The game is exactly the
Astros same. Are banging on trash cans. Yeah.
In hockey, it's not that way. The game literally changes. When you go into the corner for the puck with the guy and you hit him, you're not just trying, Ask the Boston Bruins. Yeah. You're not just trying to take the puck from the guy at that point. Every single thing is intensified, and you're trying to make a statement so that at that moment, what you do in that moment plays out later in that period, later in that second in the period, series, third period, later in the series. Exactly. It becomes a like I said, I keep using that, but war of attrition, but that is what it becomes. Who can be the last man standing after we just pound each other game, shift after shift for seven games?
We talk about that 2012 Flyers-Penguins series. You know, does Claude Giroux come out and lay that big hit on Sidney Crosby in Game 6 if all the shenanigans in Game 3 don't happen?
Right.
Probably not. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, this big old tension pot had built and eventually boiled over. And no, but getting back to your original question about should it, you know, an Eagles playoff game, blah, blah, blah. I don't necessarily know if it should. I think it would, because that's how recency bias works. And if we're talking 30, 40 years in the future, there will be a generational shift. And if there's some level of social media that people my age are not on, and that is where this poll is held. Because, you know, no offense, people your age, generally speaking, are not on Twitter. I think you're aware of that.
No, I understand.
So if there's some social media that people my age are not on, and that's where the poll is held, I have no expectations for the results because my demographic isn't voting.
But expectations are different than what should have been. And from now until the end of time, the most memorable Flyer game will always be the 1974 Cup winner.
Not according to our fans. 2010 Game 7,
and,
baby.
And they got it wrong. I'm here to call it out. No, it's
to me personally, if I look in my heart what the answer to this question is, it's 2010 Game 7. For me, personally. Now, I know it's not the correct answer.
It's the game.
Now, I know it's not the correct answer.
If the question was, what is the game you remember most as a Flyer fan, I'm okay with that result. Sure.
That's literally what memorable means.
No, that's not the question. The question was, what is the most memorable game in Flyers history?
Okay, I would like you to define the word memorable.
No, the way I'm phrasing the question is different. What is the most memorable game to you as a fan is different than what is the most memorable game in the franchise's history. Those are two different things.
Memorable, adjective. Worth remembering, notable.
Which one is more notable?
The one that you remember that's different. Because it's worth remembering.
Again, if the question was, what game does Kyle remember the most as a Flyer fan? Listen, I have no problem with you thinking it's the 2010 because that is in your brain. That's the one.
Yeah.
This is to the franchise, not to you. To the franchise. In the franchise's history, what is the most memorable game? And that is the 74 game.
You need to direct message every single person who voted on this poll and explain that to them.
I've tried to do
that. Because those people answered, what is the most memorable game to me? Well,
I purposely didn't put my finger on the scale this time.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
no,
you did.
I did not. I stayed off and out of the way until it was over. And then once it was obvious, where there was about 2 hours left, then I put it out there. Okay, fan base, you did it again. You're a complete and utter disgrace, blah, 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 blah. But that was with 2 hours left and it had no shot. You know, if 100 more people voted, it still wasn't going to get to a win.
Right.
So I did not put my finger on the scale. And look what happened. So yeah, I saved the embarrassment of the fan base, you know, 4 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Should have let it go.
I could not. I should have.
Imagine what would have been different.
Exactly. I should have let them blow the. I should have let them blow the Bobby Clark.
A whole different.
Correct. I should have let them blow the Bobby Clark thing. I could have let them blow the 74 thing, and then I could have really lambasted this fan base. But I love you, fan base.
Oh, okay. The fan base that on April 21st you tweeted was the worst fan base in all of sports.
It is.
And then last night you tweeted that they're the second worst fan base behind the LA Chargers.
Yeah, because I forgot about LA.
Oh, that's so funny. It's
just how I feel.
The results of our poll have come in. The most memorable Flyers game of all time, no matter what Mike Sr. says, is 2010 Game 7 against the Boston Bruins. And I'm all that said,
going back to the semifinal game.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, I am completely fine with the 2010 Game 7 beating the 75 Cup team.
Okay, so you're comfortable with that. A finalist here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Against that matchup, if it was in the semifinals against 74, then it should have lost. But in this matchup, I'm okay with it winning, and I even think it should have won. I'll even go that far. Even though I think the 75 team is the greatest Flyers team in history.
More on that later.
Yep. The memorableness of the win in 74 was much more memorable than a 75 Cup, even though it gave them not dynasty, but it gave them long-standing.
You win two in a row, you're in the conversation for dynasty. You're there. You're in the conversation. The fact that you made it back the third year and lost in the final.
And because Bernie got hurt, blah, blah, blah. And the Red Army game did happen in the 76 year.
I'd be willing to put the Broad Street Bullies in dynasty conversation. Yeah, I could see arguments against it, but I put them in dynasty conversation.
If not for the Red Army game and them clearly being the best team in hockey at that moment when they won that game and they lose Perrant thereafter and then lose to the Canadiens in the finals, I think you can make the argument there was every reasonable expectation that they beat the Canadiens in 76 if Bernie doesn't get hurt, and three in a row was certainly a dynasty by any standard.
And that Canadiens team was getting ready to win some cups. They were a pretty good team.
They were fantastic.
They were a pretty good team.
They won the next four, absolutely.
And they would have the Flyers could have changed the course of history there. You know, you knock that if you derail that Montreal dynasty before it gets started, who knows what happens.
If Bernie doesn't take the stick, if Bernie doesn't take the stick to the eye,
maybe the Flyers are there challenging the Canadiens through that dynasty.
He doesn't retire early at 32 or 33.
It's one of the bigger what ifs in franchise history.
In the prime of his career. Yep. And look, we've talked about one of those before, you know, one of the things before about in sports, what's something you can go back and watch with a player that wasn't there, like whether it's Jordan coming back to play against Houston or Bernie coming back to play against the Canadiens. Those would be two of the things that I would love to see most in sports that never happened.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
We talked about that before. So even though the 75 team, I think, was a better team, the most I could see it losing as a memorable game again because we were favored against the Sabres. We were the better team. It was, if we lose that cup, it's more memorable than if we win it.
Right. It's a little more ho-hum. We've been here before. We won last year, and also we're super favored.
Right.
Correct. It's a little more expected that the Flyers win that second cup for sure.
Correct.
Now, going into that third cup, obviously without that Bernie injury.
Right. And those games were tight, too. The Canadiens did not blow us out. It was 2-1, 3-2, 2-1. I think the game four, even though it was a sweep, it was very, very close. I think they won game four, 4-2 or something like that. It was the only game that they won by more than a goal.
Hey, Mike, would you say that Montreal Canadiens team might be one of the greatest teams of all time?
That one that beat them, I don't think so. But later, yes, that dynasty run of the Canadiens was absolutely one of the great. They were
good. So would you say that, if we ran a bracket over on our Twitter at YWT Podcast, where we talked about the greatest NHL teams of all time, the Montreal Canadiens of the late 1970s might deserve a spot on that list?
I think they would, and I think that's a fantastic idea.
You know what? I think we should run that poll. In fact,
that's a fantastic idea.
We've already discussed it in our offline chat. We're going to be running our next poll. We're just going to unveil it here. Our next poll is, what is the greatest team of all time? And now we are pulling the scope of this one back a little bit. This is not just a Flyers question, obviously.
Right. It's correct.
We're going to put a couple kind of vague guidelines in place. we're only going back until right around the Gordie Howe era, kind of the mid-40s, 50s, kind of.
A little bit.
And that's only just because we don't feel right making this list without putting Gordie Howe there.
Correct.
That's kind of our era things. We're not really going back any further than that, because any further than that, it's not really hockey. They had straight sticks and couldn't pass back. Right. Couldn't pass forwards. So.
One of the Gordie Howe teams, probably. One of the Canadian teams that won 11
the other,
in a 15-year period or something like that. After that,
everything else. The other little guideline is that we're only really putting one team per dynasty in.
Right.
What I mean by that is we're not putting in the 86 Oilers and the 87 Oilers and the 88 Oilers.
Right.
They all deserve to be there. We get that.
Right, but we'll take the best version of that dynasty. We're kind of taking
each dynasty, picking one team, and each dynasty is kind of putting their best foot forward. And we would like our fans, you know, we're trying to crowdsource this. We're Flyers fans. We're trying to get some perspectives from outside. We're trying to get this thing shared wide and get as many different teams as possible in the conversation. We're talking about the Detroit Red Wings. We talked about that Gordie Howe team. We're also talking about the late 90s team that clashed with the Avalanche, the early 2000s team with 10 Hall of Famers on it, and then even that late 2000s Hall of Famer, the last run with Lidstrom.
Right.
When Datsyuk and, you know, Zetterberg were in their prime there in the running.
There were some amazing teams.
Right, the Oilers of the late 80s.
The Islanders had their run. The Flyers.
The Broad Street Bullies are probably going to get, you know, a spot on this list. But we did want to crowdsource. And like I said, we wanted to kind of put it out there. And I'm interested in having fans of other teams on the show. I'll tease a little something here. We're going to have a special episode coming out in a couple of days. It's me talking to a fan of a different team, and you know, you might know who it is if you follow some YouTube stuff, and you know, we'll talk about that moving on. But I would love to get more people in. You know, if we talk about a team and you know, there's somebody that you want us to talk to that's a Montreal Canadiens fan or a Toronto Maple Leafs fan or an Edmonton Oilers fan or any, you know, let us know. And
yeah, definitely. So because
tweet us at YWT Podcast.
Right. For instance, the 87 Flyers.
Yeah.
Arguably the greatest team never to win the cup. The best
they deserve
team
a Philly, spot. That's the thing.
The best team in Philly by far not to win a championship. Without a doubt, that 87 team was great. If there's – we're very in tune to that as Flyer fans. If there's a team like that in another city, please let us know. You don't have to win the cup necessarily to be in that 32.
Yeah, and I think that 87 Flyers team – is probably pretty well known as a really good team to not win the cup. But like for Flyers fans, you can look at a team like that 04 team. And yeah, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, but that was a really good hockey team. And if you're not a Flyers fan, you don't necessarily know that that team exists.
Right. So if there's,
you know, looking back on the annals of history. So tell us what your team is. If you're a fan of another team and, you know, what's your 04 Flyers, right? What's your team that has slipped under the radar and doesn't get the love it deserves, you know, among the greatest teams of all time?
We're willing to evaluate.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that at YWT Podcast. And Mike, what do you think? Name a couple of your favorite teams of all time from when you were maybe a little younger growing up watching hockey.
Like I said a little bit earlier, I think the best Flyer team on that list that should go into that bracket would be actually the 76 team.
I agree.
The team that
beat the Red Army was the,
that was the best version,
the best group of the Philadelphia Flyers to ever pull
of those three teams. The Reggie Leach factor was added. That was added in 75 as well, but you had that factor, and they just
the lineup on Red Army Day.
Right.
Might be
was the best Flyers team. I agree with that.
Bernie got hurt.
They weren't the best ever. I think the 87, it can make the argument for 85, but the 87 Oilers, I think they were certainly in that conversation. And
I'm talking about amongst the Flyers. I'm sorry.
Amongst the Flyers. Yes, definitely.
That might be the best collection of players to ever pull on a Flyers uniform.
Correct. That's
on game day.
Correct.
Okay. And that's
where I would go. Yeah.
But either way, let me pull up our list real quick. We've mentioned quite a few teams. I know I talked about that early 2000s Buffalo Sabres team, Danny Briere, when he was an animal in Buffalo.
You got the Penguins back-to-back cup win.
Yeah, we got to do it.
They got to be in the conversation.
Honestly, both of the Penguins back-to-backs probably have to be considered. The Mario Jagr one and the Geno Sid one. I hate to do it. But we got to do it. You kind of have to do it.
I know.
Like, I don't want to do it, but do we have to put two Penguins teams on this list?
No, I don't think we do. I don't think we do. Here's why I say that. The Crosby back-to-back cup win, that might be the worst team ever to win back-to-back cups. And I begrudgingly say that because that just gives you even more fuel to the how good Sidney Crosby really has become. The team really... I know.
That Nashville Predators team they beat was pretty good, man.
No, I understand that. I understand that. What I'm saying is I think Crosby has gotten so good. I mean, think about
all the teams. Said it was one of the worst teams to ever win a cup. That's correct. Good, dude.
No, I'm not saying the team was bad. You can't win the cup if you're a bad team. I'm saying they're one of the worst teams ever to win back-to-back cups. Like, if you list all the teams in the history of hockey who won back-to-back or more cups, that team is probably the worst team of that list.
But being on that list probably gets you a spot in our bracket.
I gotta see.
Even if, like, I know we're talking about the worst, quote-unquote worst, but we're talking about the worst of a very elite tier of teams
here. Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, we're talking about the quote-unquote worst team to win back-to-back Stanley Cups, man.
Yeah, no, and I understand what I'm saying actually is an endorsement of Sidney Crosby. Right. I get that. But give me another – look, the Flyers, Bobby Clark had Bernie Parent, had Reggie Leach. The Islanders had Brian Trottier, Clark Gillies, Bobby Smith, Mike Bossy. The Canadians had Guy Lafleur, Larry Robinson. There's no second guy. Forget a third and fourth guy. There's no second guy with Crosby. There is none.
Did you forget Evgeny Malkin exists? I'm pretty sure you forgot Evgeny Malkin exists, man.
I just don't put him on the level of a Mike Bossy.
How about the fact that Sidney Crosby, and I'm saying this like this for a reason. How about the fact that Sidney Crosby turned Jake Guentzel into a 40-goal scorer?
That's how good Crosby is. Gretzky turned Krushelnitsky into a 50-goal scorer.
That's the thing. Sidney Crosby turns somebody every year into a 35-goal scorer. Who is Brian Rust? Why is he making money at the NHL level?
But that doesn't make him a great team. And look, maybe I just don't give enough credit to Malkin. The year they
also have to remember how good their goaltending was in the playoffs during those runs.
I don't think either one of their goalies is anything special.
I think Marc-Andre Fleury has a discussion for top 10 all time.
If you want to go, he has a discussion to be in the Hall of Fame.
We can have that discussion.
Just long longevity and what he's done in Vegas, maybe. But in my mind,
March 10th, 2020, 9:01 a.m. Marc-Andre Fleury is a stone cold Hall of Famer. There you go. I said it.
And he may get there numbers alone, but he's not a first ballot, and he's definitely not a lock. And on the eye test alone, he's not a Hall of Famer. You can't put first ballot, mortal lock. You're talking Roy. You're talking Brodeur. You're talking Dryden. I mean, you can't
name goalie over the last decade than Marc-Andre, the last decade and a half, last 15 years than Marc-Andre Fleury. Henrik Lundqvist has no cups. Pekka Rinne has no cups.
I understand.
I'll wait. Any other names you want to throw out here? Tuukka Rask has one cup that he rode the bench for. I'll wait. Listen, you're not going to get me off this. Marc-Andre Fleury might be the best goalie of this generation.
I just don't see
him.
The eye test, it's just not there for me. I'm sorry.
Then your dislike of the Pittsburgh Penguins is blinded.
No, you're talking about a guy who won a cup in Pittsburgh, okay, and couldn't even hold his job. He only won one cup, just FYI. Let's not put him in this otherworldly area. He won one cup.
Okay.
And 2 to 3 years thereafter, they said, we can't win another one with him. He had gotten that bad that they ran him out of Pittsburgh. They didn't protect him in the expansion draft to go to Vegas, and he'd already lost his job. They'd already won two cups without him with Matt Murray. Okay.
I think you're misremembering history a little bit here, man. I really do. That team was Marc-Andre Fleury's until he got hurt late in the regular season of the first run.
No, he lost his job to Matt Murray. It wasn't an injury thing.
I think you're misremembering this, man. And then the second year when Matt Murray went down, Marc-Andre Fleury came in and played fantastic hockey in the playoffs. And so they didn't expose him because they had Matt Murray. Like, they exposed him in the expansion draft because the other option, the other option was for him to be riding Pine because Matt Murray was their guy. They exposed him to do him a favor. Yeah, sure. And they exposed Marc-Andre Fleury to do him a favor, and then he single-handedly dragged a mediocre Vegas team to the finals.
No, that's revisionist history as well. That team played fantastically.
They did play fantastic. William Karlsson had a great season. Jonathan Marchessault had a great season. Riley Smith had a great season. But it wasn't a good team.
He was very good. I just don't see Hall of Fame.
That first year, Vegas team caught lightning in a bottle, but they were not a good hockey team. James Neal had the best season he had had in a decade.
They were good that year.
Right. They had every player on their team had a career year that year. And it turns out that everyone's career year is like, pretty good.
They didn't miss the playoffs the next year. So it wasn't like they fell back to, expansion.
No, and as far as I'm concerned, they got jobbed the next year. That's right. With the whole 5-minute major thing.
Right. So they you don't do what they did in the 2 years that they did it and not be a decent team.
No, I get what you're saying, but I think a lot of that, less than you're giving credit for, belongs to Marc-Andre Fleury. Your goaltender.
He resurrected his career in Vegas, absolutely.
If he was healthy that first year in Vegas, he did miss some time. But if he was healthy all year that first year in Vegas, he would have gotten Vezina conversation.
The only reason he's in the Hall of Fame conversation is because what has happened in Vegas. If that doesn't happen, if he goes to Vegas and they're the expansion team that everybody expected them to be for the last 2 years, people don't even remember he's in the league still.
And what he did
in Pittsburgh 1 year to win the cup, the Hall of Fame does not have every cup winner. You win one cup, it doesn't put you in the Hall of Fame.
You know, he was like the first overall pick, right? Like, he's been a guy forever.
That's just pedigree. Sure. I'm not saying you can't get in the Hall of Fame with one. Hasek has one, and he's clearly Hall of Famer. He was great for a very, very long time. I'm saying Fleury wasn't that guy. He wasn't great for a long time. He just wasn't.
Sorry, are you talking about the year he played 65 games and had a 9.18, or the year he played 67 games and had a 9.13, or the year he had a 9.16, or the 9.15, or a 9.20, or a 9.21? Sorry, what year are you talking about where wasn't great?
Yeah, but you're giving me save percentages in an era where the guys who stink were 905, 910. That's what it's become.
I don't necessarily agree with you. We're talking 10 years ago when goaltending was still in pretty decent shape. If you remember, before that 2012 lockout, goaltending was in pretty decent shape.
The average save percentage at that time was probably 910. So he was slightly better than average.
I think you're forgetting, and I don't know if it's because you weren't paying attention because he was a Penguin and you hated him, or...
No, I never saw great players be average for 3 years. I just never saw it. And to me, if you're a great player, you can be average for a short period of time. You can have a downtime. Mike Schmidt had his eras where, his head has 3 months where he hit 220, but he didn't do it for 3 years.
Marc-Andre Fleury has 3 cups. He led the league in shutouts in 2014-15.
He does not have 3 cups. He rode the pine for at least 2 of them.
He's got 3 rings. Whatever. Call it what you want to call it. He's got 3 cups.
So does Pookie Roberts from the Yankees in the 50s. He has 7 rings. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
Fine.
You get no credit for rings that you didn't play in.
Great. Then for the rest of this conversation, you're not allowed to use championship accomplishment for anything.
If you were part of achieving that championship, you do.
When you're the goalie?
He was the goalie for 1.
Okay, let's see how many playoff games he played.
Murray was the goalie for 2.
I'm going to go take a look at how many playoff games Murray he played these
hurt.
Last 2 years.
Murray was hurt in the second one in the first round, and Fleury played, and then Murray came back and won the cup the rest of the playoff.
Hold, please. All right. In 16-17, I'm sorry, what year was that? I'm sorry. What year are we talking about here?
They won back-to-back.
Yeah. Thanks. That doesn't
help me. I don't remember the year.
Absolutely killing me. All right.
I don't remember the year. Sorry, you're putting me on the spot. I don't remember the year.
They won their back-to-back cups in 15-16 and 16-17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in 15-16, Marc-Andre Fleury played 2 games.
That's the first cup.
In 16-17, he played 15 games. He won that cup.
No,
let's
he didn't.
Fight.
No, he didn't. He did not win that cup.
He played 15 games.
No, he didn't.
Okay, so you're telling me Elite Prospects is lying about the fact that he played 15 games, had a 256 goals against, and a 924 save.
He played the
first round. So they're lying about that.
He played in the first round.
Okay.
Murray was
on. He played 15 games. They don't play 15 games in the first round, Mike.
He
played somewhere else, too. He
played some parts of other games.
Right, he played 15 games.
Murray was the cup winner for the second cup.
So if they played a seven-game series, Marc-Andre Fleury played all of them, that means Matt Murray still got pulled eight more times?
No, I'm saying
that Murray
was hurt.
Okay.
And as soon as he was healthy, he came back and he won the semifinal and the final.
Okay. And you remember that? Like if we pull that up, okay.
Yeah, pull up Murray's stats for that run.
We'll have Mike do some research because I'm not doing research about the Pittsburgh freaking Penguins. We will have Mike do our research here.
If Fleury won the second cup, why did they expose him?
Because they had.
They would never have. So what? Fleury just won the second
cup. If the Flyers won the cup last year, if the Flyers won the cup this year, Carter Hart got hurt, so Brian Elliott wins the cup. Who are they exposing for Seattle? They're not exposing Carter Hart.
If this was Elliott's third cup. Like you're asserting.
You're not exposing the 22-year-old. You're not doing it.
That's I don't think it's a fair comparison. But
it literally is. It's the same situation.
He did not win three cups. It's revisionist history. He won one.
If Brian Elliott won the okay. So can you not cut him because he has three cups, or has he won the cups or not? Has Marc-Andre Fleury, how many cups has Marc-Andre Fleury won?
As a player or on a member
how
of a
many,
team?
In your mind, how many cups is Marc-Andre Fleury responsible for?
One.
Okay. So they cut him, no problem. Great. They send him to Vegas because they had a 21-year-old with two cups and was still a rookie. Yes.
He was a rookie the year after he won the cup.
I know. He had two cups as a rookie. It's crazy. Either way, Marc-Andre Fleury is definitely one of the best goalies. I don't know how I got myself defending Marc-Andre Fleury.
He's not one of the best goalies of all time. I will concede he's in the Hall of Fame conversation. And I can make the argument.
I think I just decided that our next poll after greatest teams is going to be greatest goalies of the 21st century.
Fleury doesn't get out of the first round.
Of the 21st century, we'll see how it goes.
He doesn't get out of the first round.
We'll see how it goes.
I can name 10 off the top of my head.
You're not going to. We'll see how it goes. That's our next poll. 4 weeks from now, start sending us.
I'll take Chico Resch first. I'll take Chico Resch first.
Well, I said of the 21st century, so no, you wouldn't. But okay. Either way, you can let us know what do you think is the greatest team of all time. Let us know on Twitter at YWT Podcast. Was there anything else you wanted to say, Mike?
Nope, I'm good. I'm good.
I feel like we've gone pretty to the wall.
Look, here's a good thing about our next poll. There's nothing that can happen. Well, let me go easy on that. Never. There's nothing that
don't challenge the internet.
It's right. It's very improbable that I'm going to be bashing the Flyer fan base over these results.
You heard it here first. either way, you can let us know what you think. That poll will probably go up Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll talk to Mike and we'll get a day. That poll will go up Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll get suggestions from you guys, our crew, Sunday, Monday. We'll get the poll together and get it up and start voting on it. Like I said, I have that special episode maybe coming out this week, hopefully, teasing. Until then, if there's somebody that you want us to get on the show, let us know on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find Mike at Mike from S Jersey or producer Mike at Mike_Diletto. Search You Would Think on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Sports Talk Philly, all over the place, and you can find us pretty much everywhere over there. One more time, I did want to say Happy Mother's Day. I know we said it at the top of the show, but I did want to cap it off here. I don't know how much of our listenership are mothers, but tell your mother Happy Mother's Day.
They all have mothers.
Call your mother. Everyone. Okay, yep. If you haven't talked to your mother recently, maybe give her a call. It's Mother's
Day. There you go.
Until then, anything else you wanted to say, Mike?
No, I think we touched on everything.
I think we touched on everything. Until then, we're going to get out of here. And on that note, we'll see you next time.